we have asked Ramon to share this morning. They just came back from Chihuahua, had a glorious time, and they had been in Flagstaff all summer, and they're back here and back in the rehabs, and this family produces so much fruit, and it's just an honor to know you. Just share from your heart.
God bless you. Thank you, Pastor. So like Pastor Barbara said, we just got back from a trip from Chihuahua. And actually, like Pastor Barbara also said, we were in Flagstaff for 5 months. And I literally put all my ministry on hold. So I didn't do anything other than other things, not ministry. And we just got back Wednesday from Chihuahua. And it's one of my favorite places to go. I love Chihuahua, for those of you who've never been there. It really is a neat place. I'm going to tell you what some things we saw. I wrote this. I sent an email out, and pastors asked me to share. We have friends there, what we've been staying with for almost 4 years. And I'm going to tell you what we see. And I see in general Mexico, but I really see in Chihuahua. I see the Lord's purpose for the people of Mexico. It's a very clear purpose. And if you want to know more, I'll share that with you. And also, I see the Lord's covering of protection. We go into places, they're detention centers. And if you think of a rehab as a place that are nice, cushy places, Mexico, they're not. Most of them, I call them going inside the razor wire, because they almost all have razor wires and, you know, guards and whatever. But the Lord's called me to do that. I want to tell you what the Lord showed us. We have a lot of prayer support. A lot of prayer people, and we saw Lord's protection a lot. Especially, I was doing a lot of night driving, and if you've ever driven at night in Mexico, it's a lot different. They don't have those nice little lines on the road that, you know, in most of the places, it's kind of hard. So the Lord kept us safe. The other thing I want to share is October and November is the time of the pecan harvest in Chihuahua. And that's where young men climb high into these trees with sticks, and they beat the nuts out of the tree. Nuts fall down, they pick them up, and they're the best tasting nuts you'll ever taste. I'm serious. And I also want to tell another harvest. We also saw lost souls. A lot of people ready to come into God's kingdom. And it was really cool. I got some pictures. I'll put it up there by next week. So I want to share with some things that we saw. Because a lot of you, if you've never been on Gone With Us, we're kind of different. We do a lot of different things. We saw... One time I was street preaching in a small town, not a big town, but medium-sized town. And I was street preaching in the plaza, and people were listening. And I was preaching, so I really don't know what all the people around me are doing. And Melissa was watching. She's very observant. And she goes, "You realize when those people walked by, they were going like this?" And I was like, "No, I didn't notice that." And when we left the town, this is serious. There was one of these steel gates, kind of like a marquee that says, "Welcome to this town." On one side was a miner. It was a mining town. On the other side, I kid you not, was a witch. A witch. And I asked the other people, and they're like, "Yeah, there's witchcraft in that town." I've never seen that before. So I wrote down a bunch of other things we'd never seen before. So we saw a lot of soldiers in training. And it's just like here. You know, the world knows there's a coming war. It's not physical, it's spiritual. We also heard a lot of accounts, just from friends, about violent threats against people. And the one thing I do know is violence, if you didn't know that, violence is a spirit. It's not something we need to be afraid of, it's a spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to stomp that spirit. We don't have to be afraid of it. But it's real. And one thing I learned about Chihuahua, they got a pretty strong violent spirit over Chihuahua. If you've ever been there, you look at the history, it's very strong in Chihuahua. Don't know why. I think I know why, but I'm not fully certain. There's also, when I go there, I'm not Mexican. So when I go to Chihuahua, I love Chihuahua. And there's a strong passion in Chihuahua. It's a good passion. It's a healthy, it's a passion for living. I love it. Okay, so we heard about these violent threats, but you know what we saw? Peace, tranquility. We didn't see anything violent against anybody. I did see a man, though, in one of the detention centers, and this is something we've seen before. And it's, you know, forgive me, but his head was really bashed in. I mean, literally, you could take a ruler and measure like a half inch and bashed into his forehead, and it's not the first time I've seen it. But again, violence is a spirit. We don't have to be afraid. Christ died, I love the words of that song, to heal. Okay? So another thing we saw was we went to a event in a place called Aldama. It's outside of Chihuahua. And the church, it was a church there that was birthed out of the Pentecostal movement, the Azusa Street movement, if you guys have heard that. Something happened 100 years ago in the Los Angeles area, and it moved across the whole world. It's the Pentecostal movement. And we visited a church that was celebrating the 100th, little more than 100 years, anniversary of the moving of the Holy Spirit, and it was awesome. I mean, there was praise that was like, oh, man, it was great. We had a great time being with brothers and sisters in Christ. Met a lot of people. Let's see. We also, okay, this is something that's sad. When we go to these detention centers, in America, we say, okay, the juveniles, you guys go in a separate place. The adults go here. They don't always do that. We were in one place. It was all men. And there was an 11-year-old boy there, 11 years old. He told me, he said, you know, I'm 11, but I turn 12 next month. I said, that's still not good. So we see that. It's sad. Melissa met two women. They were Americans. They spoke English. I mean, one was from Kansas, one was from Colorado. Yeah, I kind of mixed them up. So they're there. We saw, I thought this was really neat because I'm French. We went to a small village in Chihuahua that was French. They were French people. They look like French people. I've heard that. I've never seen that before. It was really cool. We also were in a drug detention center, and we met a Mennonite. I don't know if you guys know what Mennonites are, but they're white people. They're German people that have moved to Mexico, some to Mexico. You know, really interesting. It just tells me the drug war doesn't see anything in difference in people. Satan wants to kill all, okay? So that's one thing you just got to know. So one thing I'd never seen before, we were exploring new territory. We went to a drug detention center, and the pastor was busy, so he asked us to go sit into the kitchen. The kitchen had big windows, so we all sat down, and all of a sudden the gates open up. I could see a police truck outside, and a cop walks in with an automatic rifle. Walks in, goes like this, says, okay, bring the guy. They bring a guy in handcuffs behind him, and process them and whatever. I've never seen that before. I've seen police, but not with their automatic rifles. Let's see. I think that's about it of the new things. I learned a new word. Every time I go to Mexico, I learn a new word. It's borrega. I don't know if you know what borrega is. It's sheep. It's a kind of sheep. Not the kind of sheep that you clip the wool. Not the kind of sheep that you milk. It's the kind of sheep you raise for meat. And I met this young guy. He's a real young guy. I don't know. A little older than Ivan. He had a stick, and he was watching them. So I went and talked to him. And I asked him, I said, do these sheep obey you? And he goes like this, no! So if you're a pastor, like what Pastor Nina shared, it's kind of funny. Okay, so anyway, I had a great time. I love to go to Chihuahua. We saw a lot of souls come into the kingdom. I'd love to show you the pictures. They'll be up there next week. But there are a lot of people already. The violence and stuff, it's a scare tactic. Don't be afraid of it. If the Lord's called you to go into places, you should go. If he's not, that's okay. He has another place for you. Again, I have fun when I go to Mexico. I have fun when I cross the border, but I really like Chihuahua. So thanks for letting me share, pastors.
Thank you, Ramon. When I got Ramon's email on this last night, my first response was, What am I doing on the north side of the border? There's just so much wonderful action in the spirit realm and in the kingdom of God on the other side. It's just beautiful over there. Barbara and I did get to spend a couple days in Cumbas this past week. And oh, the hot dogs. Well, anyway, that's not, I talk about that a lot. But with, like Ramon says, people are getting born again. Lives are being changed. And, you know, that just makes the hot dogs better. Amen. I was just thinking. Oh, he's thinking again. I was just thinking, you know, it doesn't. Hang on. Trying to do three things at once here. If you've ever read the book of Hebrews, especially chapter 11, what we call the faith chapter, you'll see in verse 6 that you can't please God without faith. You ever think about that? Can't please God without faith. So if we're going to please God, we must have faith. Everybody say it's important to have faith if you want to please God. And you know, it doesn't take an ounce of faith to let people go to hell. Doesn't take an ounce of faith to leave them in a rehab forever. Doesn't take an ounce of faith to let people be sick and dying and in the depths of sin. No. It takes faith to change their life with the gospel. It takes faith to stand up and preach the gospel. It takes faith to go where God would lead you to preach the gospel. I want to talk more about that as we move along this morning. There's a whole lot of things you don't need faith for. So I'll try not to get the cart before the horse. I want to save some of that. I want to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, sir, you're so awesome. And we just want to keep focusing on you, Lord. We want to keep our focus on you this morning, every bit. Lord, you are so amazing, so awesome. And we thank you for including us in your plan for this planet. We pray that we will be a blessing to you and to your people this morning and all that we do and say in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to read a little bit out of a little book here called Ever Increasing Faith. This particular book was printed in 1924. Yes, that was before I was born. By Mr. Smith Wigglesworth. He was an Englishman that traveled the world in the gospel, preaching the gospel, and 100 years ago. And he just said things in this book that really grabbed me. Here's part of it. Notice the expression the Lord uses when he talks of the gospel message. He calls it the words of this life. Boy, that got a hold of me, and I just. About 3 days later, I said, Barbara, this has still got me. The gospel is the words of this life. That's what he calls it in Acts, in the book of Acts. The words of this life. The preaching of the gospel is the words of this life. How many times do we say that it's the word of God? That's true. It's the word of God. That is correct. It's the word of God. But the Lord wants to personalize his word so that we can say it's the word of this life that I live in him. The gospel should be the word of life that we live, the life that we breathe, the life that we speak, the life that we walk in, the life that we talk in, the life that we show the world, the life that we show the church, the words of this life and the gospel. All one. He goes on to say it's the most wonderful life possible. The life of faith in the Son of God. This is the life where God is with us all the time. He's around about us and he's within us. It's the life of many revelations and many manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It's the life in which the Lord is continually seen, known, felt, and heard. Isn't that the life in God we want? When we're continually seeing Him, hearing Him, feeling Him. It's a life without death, for we have passed from death into life. It's the very life of God that has come within us. Where that life is within us, its fullness, in its fullness, disease cannot exist. It would take a month to tell all there is about this wonderful life. Wow. You can never be ordinary from the day you receive His life from above. For you become extraordinary, filled with the extraordinary power of our extraordinary God. Amen. I want that extraordinary power of my extraordinary God. Just one more little thing here that I thought was... How many have ever heard people around here, especially my wife, talk about the fact that we believe that a much greater revival is on its way than we've ever seen? And we talk about it so much that people might tend to say, well, where and when? Come on. You're always talking about it, you know, where and when? Well, that's a lot of that timing thing is up to God. But here's part of a revival as such as we expect that was taking place 100 years ago. Now again, Smith Wigglesworth traveled the world with this message of the gospel. And here he speaks, he says, God's tide is rising all over the earth. I have been preaching in Stavanger in Norway and was very tired and wanted a few hours rest. I went to my next appointment, arriving about 9:30 in the morning. My first meeting was to be that night. I said to my interpreter, after we have had something to eat, let's go down to the fords. You know, that's the big deep bays that they have in the ocean coast. Says we spent there 3 or 4 hours down by the sea, and about 4:30 returned to town. We found at the end of the street, which was a narrow entrance to town, filled with autos and wagons and etc., containing invalids and sick people of every kind. I went up to the house and was told the house was full of sick people. It reminded me of the same scene described in the 5th chapter of Acts. I began to pray for people in the street, and God began to heal people. How wonderfully He healed also those that were in the house. We sat down for lunch and the telephone rang. Someone on the other end said, what are we going to do? The town hall's full and the police don't know what to do. That little Norwegian town, the people were in that little Norwegian town, the people were jammed together to hear the word of God. Oh, how powerful God fell upon us, and a cry went up from everyone, this is revival. Revival took over that town. And they filled the street with vehicles carrying sick people, and God healed the sick people. The police station fills up with people wanting to know, you know, hey, well, let's just do that. It's a very interesting book. I'd be glad to loan it to you, or you can buy your own. Ever Increasing Faith, Smith Wigglesworth. All of his books are good, good, good reading. I want to entitle this message today, You Don't Need Faith. And you'll find out in a minute why. So don't throw any rotten tomatoes yet. 2 Corinthians 5:7. This is something I picked up last Sunday from Nina's sermon, and I've been working on it all week now. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk not by faith, or we walk by faith. You may get this right, amen? We walk by faith, but not by sight. And Nina asked the question. She said, well, what is the opposite of faith? And I said, fear. And someone else said something. And she said, well, think about this scripture. What is the opposite of faith? Everybody looked at the scripture for it, and then we all agreed, well, sight. You can walk two different ways, faith or sight. Evidently, they're opposite. Let me give you the Calvino version. That's New King James. This is the CAL version. You ever heard of the CAL version? That's Calvino's version. After studying a while on this subject, I begin to realize, for we walk by what our redeemed inner man sees. That's faith. Our redeemed inner man is a faith man. So if we walk by faith, we could say it this way. We walk by what our redeemed inner man sees, not by the sight of our natural eyes and senses. Not too bad of a translation for a guy that didn't finish college, huh? We walk by what our redeemed inner man sees, not by the sight of our natural eyes and senses. And I've meditated a lot on that this week. So if we walk by faith, just what does this look like? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So if I'm walking by faith, I walk by the substance of what I'm hoping for. And I walk by the evidence of what I'm not seeing. Now the natural mind goes on tilt. Doesn't work. Error. Because these things are spiritually discerned and spiritually experienced. And being born again of the Spirit of God and having Jesus as your Savior, being converted to Christianity through the new birth in Jesus Christ, begins to enlighten us and open our understanding in a spiritual sense so that we can begin to grasp and get a hold of things like this. And to the Christian, especially the mature Christian who's walking in the Spirit, this makes perfect sense. Now, even that Christian can kick over into the natural mind and go, oh, come on. How do you do that? How do you walk with the substance of what you've been hoping for? How do you walk with the evidence of what you're not seeing? There is a vast difference between the understanding of the natural man and the understanding of the spiritual man. Vast difference. So it's best not to even try to understand certain scriptures like this with your natural mind. Just fall on your face before God, cry out to God, get close to God, and say, Lord, I need some spiritual understanding here. And He will give it to you. He will give it to you. You know, even the disciples had to have their understanding opened. In the last part of the last chapter of the book of Luke, it said Jesus opened their understanding that they might know the Scripture. Now, they'd been following Him for 3 years, you know, disciples, watching the miracles, listening to the teachings. They were following Him for 3 years. And then at the end of His ministry, when He's ready to ascend back into glory to be with the right hand of the Father, He says, no, wait a minute. These guys haven't quite got it yet. And so He spiritually anointed them, blessed them, prayed over them, and opened their understanding so they could understand the Scripture. I say, Lord, I need some of that. Open my understanding. I want to know the Scripture. I want to know what it means, how it works. Amen? In Romans chapter 4, first three verses, what then shall we say that Abraham our father, Barbara talked about that this morning, didn't she? What shall we say then that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Wow. How many could agree with me this morning, based on the Christian teachings you've had, that we are made righteous by the blood of Jesus? That is a truth that'll carry you all the way to heaven. Well, Jesus had not yet died and shed His blood to wash Abraham's soul. But the very fact that Abraham believed God without a doubt, said, "Yes, sir." That act of believing brought Abraham to the place in relation before God that God could say, "He's a righteous man. He believes me." I would say by that, that to believe is a very powerful thing. If it could save Abraham's soul, it must have been a very powerful thing. Back in about, I'm guessing now because I didn't look at my day planner for several years back, but about 1991 or two, I was invited to preach in a little town in a southern suburb of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so we preached this little country church and had a really good time. The people were very warm and spiritual, and we just had a really good service. And I preached along the line and said many times during my sermon, "To believe is a powerful thing. To believe is a powerful thing." I probably said that 50 times, you know, in 45 minutes. And we had had lunch with everyone. They had their pot-blessed lunch that day. And so we had, you know, all the ladies brought food, good Oklahoma cooking, you know, a lot of sweet stuff. And so we're in there, we're all eating lunch, you know, after church, and they're in the dining room. And this little, sweet little old lady, this sweet as pie, she comes up to me, you know, and she's a very typical grandmother type. And she says, "Brother, I enjoyed your sermon so much. That was the best sermon I've heard, and I don't know when. Brother, that sermon of yours, I just loved that sermon. What was it you preached about?" And I said, "To believe is a powerful thing." She said, "That's it, that's it. I just loved that sermon." It is a powerful thing to believe. It saved Abraham. Wow. While we're in Romans 4, do you have verses 13 through 17 there? The promise that he, Abraham, would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For those who are of the law are heirs. If those who are of the law are heirs, then faith is void. The promise is of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith, of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham is the father of us all. Or in other words, he's the father of all people who are in faith. It is written, "I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him, God, whom he believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So one of the ways that I walk in faith is to walk by calling those things that do not exist as though they did. Now, don't get all excited and start calling your new Cadillac in, because God never made you a promise for a new Cadillac. You have to base your calling of these things that do not exist as though they do, you have to base that on a promise from God. You can't just pull things out of the hat to meet your own needs and selfish desires. God's not interested in that. But when he shows you a promise in the Word concerning you, yours, your family, your health, your job, whatever the promise is, if you have a promise from God, But, you know, where you're walking day by day, it's just not coming to pass like you think it should. You can start calling that promise into your life, saying it is going to happen because God said it's going to happen. So I'm going to call it as if it already existed. I'm walking in prosperity. I'm walking in health. I'm walking in blessing. That's how we walk in faith and not by sight. By walking in the promise. And even calling those things that are not as though they were, because he promised it. Amen. Let's go to the next. I believe we're in 19 through 25. Did we do that one yet? And not being weak, talking about Abraham, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body dead, since he was about 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, she's like 90, but he did not waver or doubt at the promise. At the what? See, you got to have this promise or nothing else is going to work in faith. You can't have faith without a promise. Faith won't work for you without first having a promise. And Abraham didn't waver or doubt at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. How did he strengthen his faith? By giving all the glory to God. And being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. This is faith. This is how I walk, by faith and not by sight. By walking, being fully convinced. Okay, the next one. Therefore, it was accounted to him, this faith was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his, Abraham's sake alone, that it was imputed to him, that righteousness was imputed to him. But watch this. But also for us. This righteousness shall be imputed to us who believe in God who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Wow. And number 25. Jesus who delivered us up. Was delivered up because of our offenses, and he was raised because of our justification. Now, chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is powerful to believe this sort of thing. If you believe this sort of thing, it'll change your life. Pause. Everybody say pause. I just can't resist this. I've got to see this new baby. Have you ever, isn't this gorgeous? You're gorgeous. Yeah, you're already flirting with me. I see those eyes. Yeah, I see those eyes, little Latina. Yeah, you got the eyes. Precious, precious. Okay, you can push play again. I just couldn't resist that. That is just, wow. Congratulations, guys. Congratulations. Now, where were we? Playing with the baby? Remember, as you walk by faith and not by sight, remember, as you call those things that don't exist as though they were, base it all on a promise from God. So important. Now, how did we title this sermon? You don't need faith for that. You don't need faith, Mitch. You don't need faith. Watch this. Did you ever ride a horse? Did you get thrown off? No. Who rode a horse and got thrown off? I can raise my hand. Okay. Now, the tradition of the old cowboy is when you get thrown off, what do? Get back on. And you've heard that, right? Whether you rode the horse or not, you've always heard if you get thrown off, you get back on. Okay. So it doesn't take any faith to get thrown off the horse. But it does take faith to get back on. It doesn't take any faith to go to hell. But it takes faith to go to heaven. Doesn't take any faith to be sick. But it does take faith to walk in health. Did you know it doesn't take a bit of faith to be broke? That's just as easy as falling off a log. But it takes faith to prosper. Are you with me? Let's get down to where we're living, right down where we really live. It takes no faith whatsoever to have a bad attitude. You talk about something that's easy. But it takes a lot of faith to guard my attitude. And may remembers what we started with? Faith pleases God. Oh my. It doesn't take any faith at all to let your marriage fail. Believe you me, it takes a truckload of faith to have a good marriage. It doesn't take any faith to just let your kids run wild. That's just so easy. Just let them run wild. That doesn't take any faith at all, does it? But it takes a lot of faith to train up a child in the way he should go. It doesn't take any faith at all to just let the world go ahead and self-destruct. But it's going to take all of our faith and the faith of Jesus himself to save the world. But it's coming. It doesn't take any faith to let Satan reign in your life. But it does take faith to see Jesus as King of your life. It takes no faith at all to walk in the flesh. How many know how easy that is? But it does take faith to walk in the Spirit. You know, it doesn't take any faith at all to let the Bible on your coffee table gather dust. That's easy, isn't it? But it takes faith to be a faithful reader of the Word. Now we're getting back to attitude things. It doesn't take any faith to respond to someone in spiteful, hateful words. And boy, it can take a lot of faith to respond in love. It doesn't take any faith at all to shun responsibility. But it takes a lot of faith to be responsible. It doesn't take any faith at all to ignore one of God's promises. It takes a lot of faith to believe his promises. It doesn't take any faith at all to walk by sight, because you don't have to have faith. You can see it. But it takes a lot of faith to walk by faith. Interesting. Oh, I thought it was. You guys are so kind to me. Thank you so much for putting up with me. There's a whole lot I would like to share with you, but I'm going to give Barbara a few minutes to pick up on this here. Back to Hebrews 1, where we're walking by the substance of what we've been hoping for. I begin to look at my own life, and I'm thinking, spiritually speaking, what do I hope for more than anything else? And you know, the list can get quite long. And so I tried to narrow it down to the number one principal thing, the number one thing I cannot live without, the number one thing that I am hoping for. And this may surprise you. It may just fit your shoe. I don't know. But when I really studied my own life and my own feelings on this, the thing that I hope for more than anything else is that I am fully pardoned. Now, I have a certain level of confidence in my Christian walk, confidence in the Lord, and I try to cultivate that and grow it and increase it on a daily basis. I want to be confident. But when I really look at my life and my feelings, you know, down deep, it's like, you know, if I could have the ultimate hope fulfilled, would be to have the ultimate feeling, knowledge, and revelation that I am fully pardoned. Now, you didn't know I did that many bad things, did you? You don't want to know. Having absolute forgiveness is my greatest hope. Right, don't raise your hand, but how many of us could say having absolute forgiveness is a great hope? It's interesting, the Bible says hope, God's hope won't leave you in shame or disappointment. He says that hope in Him is a sure anchor of our soul. And so for my own sake, as I studied this out and was meditating on these things, I looked up a whole bunch of the key verses on the blood of Jesus that washes me free from sin. The blood of Jesus that has purchased my life. The blood of Jesus that has redeemed me. And I meditated on those scriptures. And I built up my hope. And I built up my confidence in the sure hope that I do have absolute forgiveness. And I think as I analyze this in my own life, I'm not hoping in this because I feel some lack in the Lord giving it to me. I feel a certain amount of lack in my ability to receive forgiveness. Did I make sense with that one? I have full confidence that He is able and wants to give me absolute forgiveness. But I still struggle sometimes, not always, but I still struggle sometimes in my own life trying to receive the forgiveness. Well, you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to receive the forgiveness. He wants us to receive that absolute pardon. I mean, He's saying, what more can I do for you? I gave my Son to die on a cross for you. He shed His blood and His life for you. What more can I do to prove to you that you are pardoned? You are forgiven. What more can I do? God's, you know, pulling His hair out saying, what can I do more to show you? Let's just grow up and forgive ourselves and receive His forgiveness. And receive that absolute pardon. Let's receive it. I don't know of anything that make God happier than to look down at His children and say, they got it. That's why they're running and playing and jumping and shouting and having a good time. They've got it. They are free. And free indeed. Amen.
Hallelujah. I just have a little few things to add on faith. I really didn't believe He was going to give me any time. I was sitting there. But I'm just going to take a few more things. Nina stirred up the subject of faith last week. It has just kind of been boiling in our hearts all week. And that's one of the scriptures that came up. But He said the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Faith is the anchor to the impossible. Nothing's impossible for God. Faith's a fruit of the Spirit, a gift of the Spirit. It's something that we don't have to try to have or struggle with in the flesh. It's connecting with God. Through His word, through praise, through worship, we connect with God, and that's where faith is. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of the benefits of God's kingdom, and it's like a mirror. Faith is a mirror that reflects the benefits of heaven down to where we are that we catch. We catch it. We catch what God has done. Faith has its anchor in the unseen realm. Faith lives from the invisible toward the visible. Faith provides eyes for the heart. Faith is when we see from our spirit man, not from our natural eyes. We see in the spirit. To encourage us in our capacity to see from the heart, Jesus gave us specific instructions. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. And then 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, we're not looking with our natural understanding. We're looking from our spirit. We're seeing and we're walking in faith from our spirit man. And we grow in faith, seen from their spirit, when we worship. We don't worship to get faith, but when we do worship, faith comes with it because we're connecting to God. The scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people. God lives where his people are praising him. His presence is there. Where we're praising God, he's there. And so we live there. Praise is a powerful spiritual weapon, and it changes the atmosphere around us. Remember in Joshua 6:20, how the walls of Jericho came tumbling down because of the shouts of God's people? Hallelujah. And remember in Acts 16:25 and 26, that Paul and Silas were in jail. They were in stocks. Their hands were tied. Their feet was tied. And they began to praise God. At midnight, they were praising God, and an angel showed up, and their stocks fell off, and they were set free. There's power in praise. Hallelujah. We can sing praises in the midst of trials and difficulties as we know God will overcome. Praise lifts our eyes from the battle to the victory. For Christ has already won the victory. And we belong to Christ. And he has already won. So when we praise the Lord, it takes us from seeing the problem to seeing the victory. Hallelujah. It's good for us to worship the Lord. It's not something we work up on our own. It's coming into God's presence where faith is. Faith is a spirit. It's one of the gifts of the spirit, the fruits of the spirit. Faith is in the spirit realm. When we get in the spirit, that's where we touch with faith. Hallelujah. The invisible realm is superior to the natural realm. Because the invisible is superior to the natural, faith is anchored in the unseen. Faith lives within the revealed will of God. That's why it's necessary to know the word and the nature of God to have faith. If you believe it's God's will for you to be sick, are you going to have faith to believe that for healing? No. You have to know that Jesus paid for our healing. To have our faith kick in, that we believe it, that we receive it. Hallelujah. So it helps to know the word of God. What is God's heart? What is he saying? What is his will? What is his purpose? Unbelief is anchored in what is visible and reasonable apart from God. It honors the natural realm as superior to the invisible. People who believe in the natural world rules over the spiritual world call themselves realist. They are trained to believe only what they see. Real faith is not living in denial of the natural realm. If the doctor says you have a tumor, it's foolish to say, no, I don't have a tumor. That's not faith. But faith is founded on a reality that is greater than the natural tumor that may be there. Faith says Jesus received stripes on his body for my healing. He already paid for my healing. It's paid for. I may have a tumor there, but the reality is God has already paid to set me free and to heal me. That's the reality. So the reality, the spiritual reality is greater than the natural thing that we see. And so we can declare the reality of heaven or what God provided no matter what we're seeing in the natural realm. We can agree with what God did. Hallelujah. Don't deny the problem. Rather, deny the problem a place of influence in your life. Don't count it as worth anything, what you see in the problem. Don't let what the devil is doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of God's presence in your life. In other words, don't put your eyes on what the devil's doing. Put your eyes on what God's doing and let that have first place in your life. Faith is the product of the kingdom of heaven. It's a superior reality. There are no tumors in heaven, and faith brings that reality into this one. Would Satan like to inflict heaven with cancer? Yes, but he has no dominion there. He only has dominion here when and where man has come into agreement. Faith is born in the spirit of the Spirit in the hearts of man. Faith is neither intellectual or anti-intellectual. It's superior to the intellect. Faith is the spirit realm, and it's superior to the intellect. Hallelujah. Faith is a gift of the Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit. It's in the spirit realm. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Through faith, man is able to come into agreement with God. Hallelujah, and with the mind of God. The Holy Spirit lives in my spirit. That is the place of my communion with God. As we learn to receive from our spirits and listen to our spirits instead of our natural mind, we learn how to be spirit-led. And Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God," or the full-grown sons of God. So when we learn to be moved and live by our spirit man instead of our natural thinking, we are led by the Spirit of God, and we are led from victory to victory. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." God created the world that we know and all that's within it by his word. Out of the invisible, it wasn't physical yet, but his word spoke it in the spirit, and it came into reality in the natural. And as we speak in accordance of God's word and his will, it brings the invisible world into this world. Hallelujah. It brings the realities of the kingdom of heaven down to where we live. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes or is activated by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It doesn't say that faith comes by having heard the word of God. This is present tense. Faith comes by hearing, a listening ear right now. Listen to God right now. Listen, listen, listen. Faith comes by listening now. Faith comes by listening to the word, by listening to the voice of the Lord, to listen to God's spirit. What is he saying? You know, our mind is all full of what the world's saying and all the trouble of the world and all the trouble we may be having. That's what our mind's filled up. But we've got to be get to where we listen more to our spirit than we do our mind and our own emotions and feelings. What God says is more real than what I see with my natural eyes. It's more real. It's real. The invisible is superior over the visible, because the spirit is greater than this natural world. Hallelujah. It's greater. It's greater. It's greater. It's greater. God created this world by the words that he spoke. Spirit world is more powerful and greater than what we see and touch with our physical bodies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 12:3 says that God has dealt to everyone a measure of faith. Faith is a gift. It's not something we struggle for. It's a gift of God. We couldn't have even been born again without faith. Faith was given to us that we could receive God's gift of salvation. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." You know, we started in this Christian walk by faith. That's how we got started, by faith. We believed. We believed. And God put it in our heart to be able to believe that he saved us. He saved us. He redeemed me. Hallelujah. He forgave me of my sins. That is just too awesome. The born-again experience enables us to see from the heart. Faith was never intended to only get us into the family. It was intended to be a way of life in this walk. Faith is to be a daily part of our walk in the Lord. Everything is based on faith. What am I seeing with my natural eyes? What is God saying in his word, in his spirit to me? What is he saying? That's more important and more real, and I have to put my confidence in what God said about me. In God's promises, they're more real than what's screaming to me in the natural realm. Hallelujah. You know, God is real. He's our life. He's our breath. He's in there. His spirit's in there. Hallelujah. And he wants a people that will hunger for him and thirst for him. You know, when we read the word, how many of you have been reading the word and something will just come alive to you as you read the word? You know, because Jesus said, "The words I speak to you are their spirit and their life." And when we read the word, that word by his spirit comes alive in our spirits. Hallelujah. When we spend time in God's presence worshiping him. You know, I love the worship we have here. And I love that it's not just a program or a show, but it invites us all to come into God's loving room, his living room, his love room, his throne room. You know, he's here. He loves us. He loves us. God's personal to us. You know, I think of God, he's just my big sweet daddy that loves to hold me in his lap. He delights in my little silly ways and he just laughs. You know how you can have your 2-year-old and you know they're just 2-year-olds, but how you delight in them, how you love them and take delight in them. You know, no matter where we are in our growth, God loves us. We're special to him. When we look in his face and look in his eyes, he just says, "That's my baby. That's my baby." He enjoys us. He enjoys us as his children. He loves us. He takes delight in us. We're special to God. We're his own babies, his loved ones, his children, and how he loves us and delights in us. Hallelujah. And, you know, as we come into this kind of relationship, realizing how much God delights in me, he loves me. You know, every one of us could say, "I'm God's favorite." Because we should have that kind of relationship with him that we just feel, "Oh, I'm his favorite one." Because he Every child of his is his favorite. He loves us all. You know, and when we come into that kind of closeness with God, I'm his favorite. He loves me. He loves me. I can tell him anything. I can tell him anything. I can tell him anything. I can tell him how it is. And he'll respond to me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And God needs to become more real to us than all of the voices around this world that scream at us. You know, listen to God. Find that secret place of the Most High where you can talk to God. When you sit down and open your Bible, say, God, bring it alive to me. You know, when I pick up the Bible and open it, I says, God, this is your love letter to me because you love me. You know, he loves us so much. And I believe faith is very closely associated with that heartbeat of God's love. You know, when we believe that God is more real to us than the things around that we can touch, then we will be able to receive those blessings and benefits that he so wants us to have. You know, the gifts of the Spirit, all of the gifts that God gave, they're called gifts because they're given freely. You know, I see God wanting to give his children gifts. There's the fruits of the Spirit. There's the gifts of the Spirit. And they're gifts. He wants us to have them. And you know, they're just all around us. Reach out and receive what God has for you. You know, the gifts of the Spirit were meant to help us live through this life. How many, you know, the gifts of healing, the miracles, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, those are gifts. Reach out and take what God has for you because it will help you live an overcoming life and it will help others to come into this family of God's love and his blessing. Well, let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for your overwhelming, passionate love that you have for every one of your children. And Father, I just see your heart right now. All these people that don't know you yet, they're your lost children and how you want them to come home. Father, give us the heart to see and love those lost children like you love them. Let us see those lost ones, Father, like you see them and how you long for them to come home to you. Father, we just ask that your love will grow in our hearts, that we will have such an overwhelming awareness of your love for us personal, and that we will realize how much you love your creation. Lord, we thank you for increasing our love life, increasing our love for you and our love for others, that you will open our understanding and let us see the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of your love, that we might know you, Father, that we might know you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your preciousness. If somebody has a need for prayer today, anything you just feel like you need prayer for anything, we would be happy to pray for you. God is here. His presence is here. And his love is just surrounds us. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will touch every person here today. Just touch them in a special way with your love, that they realize your love. Father, make heaven more real to us than this natural plane we live on. Let our spirit man be awakened to see in the spirit, to live in the spirit, to receive from you by faith all the preciousness that you have. Father, I ask that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I ask that your will be done in Douglas as it is in heaven, that men will come to you, that they will find your love, that brokenness will be healed, that pain will be healed. Father, we ask for a true revival in this place that will sweep men and women and many into the kingdom of God. Father, you love us. You love us. You love us. We thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing your people. Well, Lord, I just thank you for this people. I thank you for blessing them, each and every one, to sense your presence in this week, to see your hand at work. And Lord, all of us lift up our hands and we say, Lord, these hands are yours. These hands are yours, and I will use them to bless you and bless your kingdom and bless your people this week, Lord. I belong to you. And I choose to live from my spirit, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, go and be blessed. Have an awesome week.